Romans chapter number 12 this morning, Romans chapter number 12, and we look forward to seeing now what God has from His Word, and looking forward to continuing in our series on the subject of mercy, and thankful for the mercy of God and the mercy that has been bestowed upon us, but also the work of mercy in our life continually. Romans chapter number 12, just one verse of scripture this morning, and a fairly familiar verse. If you're familiar with your Bible and been in church any length of time, certainly this verse has been referred to at some point. Romans chapter number 12, we're going to look at verse number 1 this morning, and the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." There's a lot in this verse for us to pay attention to, but of course we see that phrase, by the mercies of God, and we understand what is going to be asked of us and the reason by which it is being asked of us. And this morning I want to preach on the subject of His mercy changes me. His mercy changes me. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you today grateful for your many blessings, grateful for what we've already experienced as part of your church, the fellowship, the singing, the participation of so many. And Father, I pray now as we come to the preaching of the Word of God that you give clarity of mind and clarity of thought, and may the Spirit of God move this morning, and may we surrender as the Word of God speaks to us, as the Spirit of God speaks to us. And Father, I pray there's one unsaved, may they get that settled today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Throughout this series on mercy, we have seen several things. We established pretty quickly and right away, and it is certainly important, that His mercy saved us. If you're saved this morning, how many of you are saved this morning? You're saved by the grace of God, but it's by His mercy we are saved. Not only does His mercy save us, His mercy sustains us. And it keeps us going. It keeps us in the fight, if you will. It helps us overcome. Not only does His mercy sustain us, His mercy follows us through life. Surely, goodness and mercy follows us through life. You go through those valleys, mercy is there. Wherever you go, mercy is going to be there. And let me just remind you, when you think nobody's paying attention to what your problems and nobody understands what you're going through, the God of the universe who sits on His throne has His mercy following you everywhere you go. Around every turn and every valley, God's mercy is there. Then we saw that His mercy receives us. You remember that last Sunday? It receives us when we come to Him. We come boldly to that throne of grace. And we come to that throne of grace and say, God, I need you because of where I have failed. And He said, I forgive you, but while you're here at the throne, let me give you some mercy to move forward in your life. All of that is wonderful. All of that is true. And don't forget it. There'll be a quiz after the service. More than that, your life is going to test that. God is saying, God will allow us to test Him and say, see if my word is true. Look back on your life and all of the times you had already written it off. This is it. This is over. But God's mercy was there, and God's mercy sustained us, and that's why we still continue today. But might I mention this to us this morning? Mercy was never meant to just make us feel better. Don't you like rejoicing as we just did over mercy? But it was never meant just to make us feel better. Mercy was meant to change us. The Apostle Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter number 12. Please do not miss this. After spending 11 chapters, if you know the book of Romans, Paul spends 11 chapters preceding chapter 12 explaining salvation, grace, justification, redemption. Now Paul reaches a turning point. And after spending all of that time explaining all of those important doctrinal things and reminding us of the mercy of God, He comes to the believer and he says, "Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Another way that we can say this, and what Paul is saying, in light of everything that I've just told you about the grace that saves us, about the way that we're justified, the redemption, the whole plan of salvation, considering everything that I've told you, and if you're saved this morning, you are justified in your salvation. You are redeemed by the grace of God. We are as we've never sinned on the record in heaven. He says, in light of everything God has done for you, I want you to consider something. And more than consider it, I am beseeching you. This is how you should respond to all of those things. So if God did all of this for you, this is how you should respond to what God has done. See, mercy is not only something we receive. Mercy is something that reshapes the way we live. If someone had committed a crime against society and they had been shown some mercy, you would think that they would show that in their life. I got a second chance. I've been rehabilitated. I can go on and be a productive citizen. It's the same concept. You couldn't save yourself. You weren't worthy to enter into the presence of God. You were just a sinner on your way to hell. But by the grace of God, He made a way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded that we're sinners. We're reminded that for all have sinned. We're reminded that there's a punishment for that sin. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're reminded of all of that. And He says, because of all of that, there ought to be something different in your life. It's reshaping the way we live. See, friend, let's remember what mercy is. It's just simply not getting what we deserve. Let me go ahead and move into the outline. There's some things I want to get to quickly this morning. Number one, let me say mercy should move us towards surrender. I beseech you, therefore. That word beseech is a strong appeal. Paul is not saying, well, in light of all this, if you feel like it. He's making the argument it is your decision, but it's a decision that should have already, it should just be done at this point. See, he is pleading with them, he is begging them. He doesn't say, I'm commanding you. What he's saying is, I shouldn't have to command you, because there is that phrase, by the mercies of God. Look at your Bible again, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer me out loud, but is God worthy of your life? Absolutely. Is God worthy of you committing to live a holy life? Absolutely. Is God worthy for you to say, God, I want to live whatever is acceptable unto you? Does it matter my will? Does it matter my opinion? Does it matter what society thinks? Is God worthy of that? Absolutely, He is. If we were to remove that phrase, by the mercies of God, and the verse read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that would be a verse we should still obey, we should still listen to, we should still heed it, we should still give God what He is worthy of. We on the same page this morning? But it carries a lot more weight, because Paul does not just say, I'm begging you to sacrifice your life for Him. I'm begging you to live a holy life. I'm begging you to live a life acceptable unto Him. No, that phrase makes all the difference in the world. It says, by the mercies of God, He was drawing them forward with gratitude. See, God has a right to demand of you whatever He wants to demand of you. We do understand that, right? It is His air we breathe. He keeps our heart beating. He gave us life. This is His world. It's a footstool to God, and He lets us live on His planet. He has given it to us. So if He says, this is what I want of you, we ought to offer it. Young people, don't ever push back against God and say, it's my life. It's what I want to do, but it's my future. It's the decisions I make. Oh, no, God can demand whatever He wants from you and I. And in light of the fact that He saved me, it shouldn't be much of a conversation. It really shouldn't be much of a struggle, because Paul says, by the mercies of God. In other words, when you make this decision, consider everything that God has done for you. Young person, when God impresses, the Holy Spirit impresses upon you to yield your life, when the American dream pulls at you, your own flesh pulls at you, your own ambition pulls at you, what Paul is reminding us is when you make that decision, whether or not you're going to yield it to God or not, consider the fact that you deserve hell, but He gave you heaven. Young couple, young family, you deciding how you're going to rear your children in. Do we really want to make that commitment for our lives and our home to center around the Word of God, the house of God, the people of God, the work of God? Before you consider, do we really want to sacrifice our spare time? And you know, one day, it's a long ways away, but retirement would come a lot earlier if we didn't tithe, if we didn't give those things to the church. Before you make that decision, and before there's things required of you that go against the culture and go against society, and let me just tell you, some would say amen with this because they've reared their children as well. It's not easy rearing children, especially in the day we live in. Before you make that decision, say, well, do we really want to make that commitment? Why don't you consider what God has done for you? By His mercies, He's not just given us life, He's given us salvation, He's given us grace, He's given us mercy. See, when you truly understand what God has done for you, surrender becomes the natural response. Well, I just don't think I can give everything the church is asking for. Can I just tell you this morning, the church isn't asking anything from you. This morning, this pastor is just making the scriptural point that due to the mercy of God, we should surrender everything. Take the church out of it, which is an institution God established for us to serve through. Let me remind you, God does not force Himself on His people. He invites them to give themselves willingly. And friend, next time you feel sorry for yourself because God is asking so much from you, consider the fact that if you're saved, you've been redeemed, you'll never spend a moment in hell paying for the sins that you've committed. And by the way, just because we're saved, let's not forget what we deserve. Pastor, this is a dignified group of people. We are all sinners who deserve hell. Our good works do not measure up to the sin we've committed. We are all recipients of God's mercy and God's grace. So when God asks us of something, He shouldn't have to twist our arm, or He shouldn't have to convince us necessarily. It should just be, this is what I want from you. And by the mercies of God, it's asked of us. Mercy should soften your heart. A soft heart is more willing to surrender. So we see, number one, mercy should move us towards surrender. Are you surrendered this morning? Are you surrendered First of all, have you surrendered to God's plan of salvation? The church can't save you. The church can't provide a pathway to heaven. Only by the grace of God are you saved. Are you surrendered to His Word? Is there things in this Bible you're living contrary to? Are you surrendered to it? Are you surrendered to the commitment to His work? I believe it's God's will for every child of God to be part of a local New Testament church. Are you committed to that? Well, I just don't like to make commitment. Well, you didn't tell your mortgage company that. You know, you didn't tell your car finance company that. I hope that wasn't in your wedding vows. No, we'll make commitment. But what we're talking about is surrender. Are you surrendered this morning? Number two, mercy calls us to present our lives to God. I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but God shouldn't have to chase you down. The Spirit of God shouldn't have to come looking for you. But thanks to God, He's come looking for all of us. Notice what Paul writes here, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, I want to find a church that doesn't pressure me. It's not me pressuring you. It's not the church pressuring you. That's the Spirit of God, if you're saved, that is living within you. It's the Word of God. Can I just say, this is the decent thing to do. We ought to present ourselves. There should not be a pleading of service. We ought to be flocking to serve God. There should not be a pleading to, will you make this decision for God? We ought to be offering ourselves to God. God, what would you have of me? Well, God's asking more of me. Well, we shouldn't be surprised by that if we are presenting ourselves. See, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were brought to the altar and killed. The blood was shed. We know what that was a picture of, the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless lamb that would come. What Paul is describing is something different, a living sacrifice. That means bringing your life to the altar and living. Live how He desires. That means the believer offers his life to God daily. We offer our time to Him. Well, I just don't have time for God. It's His time. We ought to be offering it to Him. Our decisions, we ought to be offering to Him. Our priorities, say, well, Pastor, if I'm going to be, you know, if I'm going to be involved like I should, I'm going to serve like you should, you know, like I should, I'm going to have to change my priorities. We'll change our priorities for everything but God, it seems. We'll change our priorities for a sports schedule. We'll change our priorities for a family reunion. We'll change our priorities for everything. But if God dares ask more, I don't want to change my priorities. Friend, if you'll allow me this morning, you show me your schedule and your budget, and I'll tell you where God is and your priorities. If you'll give God barely an hour a week, He's not a priority. If you'll throw God an occasional $20 bill, He's not a priority. So this is hard preaching. Oh, this isn't hard. We got to present ourselves. Present your future. See, this is what we need from our young people to quit. Stop walking around saying God hasn't called me, and start walking around and say, I've offered myself to God. I'm still available. This is what some of you have done. You said, God, I offer myself. And literally 30 seconds later, you walk away so you can tell mom, dad, pastor, everybody, I offered myself and God didn't take me. Because if you take the offer off of the table, you have not offered yourself. And parents, let me help you. If you dedicated your child when they were a baby because you like coming down and letting everybody see and pray over your child, but when they get to be 10, 11, 12, or 16, and you take that off, you didn't really offer. That's right. You're right. You say, well, I offered myself to God years ago, and it seems like he didn't want anything. No, it's the fact that we're offering ourselves to him. See, everything you have becomes something when you place it in God's hands. This is willing surrender. This will help some of you this morning say, well, I've never thought, I don't want to think of it. Well, but do you like being saved? Amen. I like being saved. I like not having to worry about my sins. We no longer ask, what do I have to give up? You know, you're making a switch in your mind when you stop asking that question, well, what do I have to give up for God? Instead of, what can I give back? What can I give back to him? Number three, mercy produces a life that is set apart. Paul describes the sacrifice as holy, acceptable unto my friends. I was just making sure that wasn't the version you had in your hand. Holy, acceptable unto society. Holy, acceptable under the American dream. No, holy, acceptable unto God. Mercy does not make holiness unnecessary. Mercy makes holiness meaningful. Friend, when God saves you, once you put your faith in Christ, you are granted that free gift of salvation. A religious teaching that tells you that you can lose it and get it back and lose it and get it back, they are so far off of what the Bible says. By the way, we're just acknowledging our humanity. No, you're saying God's not big enough to keep you saved when he says that he can keep you saved. My God is big enough to forgive all of my sins. I think when my God says he's put them as far from the east, from the west, that he's capable of doing that. The blood of Christ is sufficient. But there's many who you try and take advantage of the mercy of God. Well, he saved me, and I know I can't work my way to heaven. I know I've saved forever. Does it really matter? Oh, let's put that in context. In spite of everything God has done for you. Because he's God, he can demand it. Because he's God, he doesn't even have to demand it. It's just a suggestion. But when you add that extra weight by the mercies of God, Paul has said everything that I've already told you about salvation and justification, the doctrines of salvation, how you're saved by the grace of God. In light of all of that, present yourselves wholly acceptable unto God. See, you don't have to live a holy life to be saved. I've talked to people before about salvation. Said, well, I need to get cleaned up before I get saved. You can't get cleaned up enough to be saved. You can't. You cannot get to the Heavenly Father but by Jesus Christ. But because of salvation, God's mercy does not make holiness unnecessary. It makes holiness meaningful. Why? Because I'm not working for anything. I'm just trying to live holy because he's worthy of it. You know, can we at least agree that saved people ought to at least like being saved? Is it too much to ask for saved people to live like they're saved? The Bible does say we're ambassadors. How well are you representing? It's in the message this morning, but if we had an ambassador in another country and he talked less like an American and more like that country, is he really that good of an ambassador? If he was more concerned with the country he resided in than the country he represented, is he really a good ambassador? We're likened to ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be striving to be a good representative of the as an ambassador. We do not pursue holiness to earn God's mercy. We pursue holiness because we've received it. See, your life, the believer's life begins to change, not out of fear, not out of pressure. Remember, some of you, you got saved out of that belief that I had to live a certain life in order to get to heaven. And am I living like I should today? And am I supposed? This is what I'm supposed to have today. When there's that change, and out of gratitude, not out of pressure, I'm going to live this way because I'm thankful that God has saved me. I'm thankful that He'll use me. I'm thankful that He can clean my life and use it. See, the heart that understands mercy doesn't ask, well, how much can I get away with? How far outside the tent can I go before God is displeased? It asks, how can I honor the one who has been so merciful to me? See, mercy will transform the motivations of your heart. See, when your flesh doesn't feel like yielding, and let me remind all of us that we're still flesh and blood, and we still battle the carnality that we are. But when the flesh and the carnal nature doesn't want to yield, remind yourself, but I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. God has saved me. He's sanctified me. The least I can do. What's your motivation? The Bible teaches iron sharpeneth iron, and because we were supposed to sharpen each other, we're supposed to edify. But what if you had no pressure on you? Would you still serve? Would you still offer yourself? That's the perspective that we must have. Mercy produces a life that is set apart. I'm willing to live differently because I'm thankful that He saved me. Well, pastors, if you live like a Christian in the day, the world's going to think you're weird because you don't fit in with them. And I just say, have you looked at the world lately? If people look at me and then look at the world and say, you don't fit in with them, I'm like, thank you. I'm not worried about it, number one. But if I'm weird because I'm not like the world, then I'll just be glad to be weird. But He's worthy of it, number four. Now, everything I've just said, there is a small but very likely chance that somebody in here felt a little pressure and conviction. Would that be safe to say? I'm bringing that up because I want you to keep everything I just said in mind as I give you number four. Mercy makes this response reasonable. There's nothing that I've said up to this point that's unreasonable. Nothing. In fact, I didn't have time this morning, but I could go even further. And anything that I would say in context of 100% surrender to God, which, by the way, you cannot be 100% surrendered to God and have a church that is a Bible church to serve Him, to help, to participate in, and live outside of that and be 100% surrendered. You can't ignore this book and be 100% surrendered. So anything in the context of what the Scripture says, is not unreasonable. Mom and Dad, it's not unreasonable for it to be preached that you ought to pray for God to use your children and to make sure they're in Sunday school, make sure they're in that Christian environment, make sure they grow up on the foundation of the Word of God. Well, there's sacrifices of that. That's not unreasonable. Well, I've got. Why would God give me the ability to make money if I wasn't supposed to make money? Well, I may not say anything else about that one, but no. But number one, who said that's why God put you here? You know, there's drug dealers making money. By that same rationale, why would God give me this ability if I wasn't supposed to use it? People just like me. God shouldn't have given me the winning personality He gave me. Mercy makes this response reasonable. Are you still with me this morning? The end of this verse, Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is why put your focus on this, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You know, there could be a period under there, and that'd be enough. Because God said it. He's telling us what to do. Acceptable unto God, period. But Paul reminds us, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's not a period there, it's a comma. That says, which is your reasonable service. Are you living a reasonable life? Or an unreasonable one? Well, I'm just not going to surrender. I don't know. That's reasonable. If somebody saved your natural life, if they snatched you out of a burning building, they saved you from drowning, whatever you want to describe, you would likely do whatever you could do to show gratitude, to say thank you. You would make whatever, because you have the life you have, because they were willing to risk theirs. How much more our eternal soul that will spend eternity either in hell or in heaven. And if we're honest, we all know we deserved hell, and because of the grace of God and His mercy, because of salvation, we don't have to go there. It would be reasonable to do anything we can do to say thank you. See, living the way I'm preaching this morning, everybody okay? It's not extreme. It's logical. Oh, you're one of those extreme preachers. No, I'm a very logical preacher. This is logical. When you consider the cross, have you read the account of the crucifixion? That should have been you. You should have been beaten. I should have been beaten. We should have been spat upon. We should have been nailed to that cross. The Bible says that Christ was beaten beyond recognition. You couldn't even tell He was a man. That should have been us. We should have suffered. We should have died. And then our eternal soul, it deserved to burn in torment forever because of the sins we committed. But because of God's grace and God's mercy. So when you put it in context of the cross, the forgiveness of sins, the patience of God, the mercy that spared us, and as we've seen, the mercy that sustains us, also the mercy that follows us every day, the only reasonable response is to say, Lord, my life belongs to You. See, surrender is not radical when you understand mercy. It's reasonable. See, some of you need to change your perspective and change your vocabulary. Well, I just, Pastor's asking me to live a radical life. Not if you put it in the right perspective. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. How else can you show gratitude? True gratitude for the God who saved you from your sins. And by the way, you giving God a token hour, that's really not reasonable. So, Pastor, there's not many churches that, well, I think this is reasonable. I conclude this morning. There's many people that want the mercy of God, but they don't want the change that mercy produces. They want forgiveness without transformation. Might I remind us, mercy does more than rescue us. It reshapes us. See, the cross of Calvary was not just meant to save us, but to also change us. And when we truly understand the mercy of God, we begin to simply say in our heart, Lord, after all you've done for me, my life is yours. Some might would say, well, Pastor, you surrendered to preach when you were young, and you've lived that life of service, and you've made some sacrifices, and look at what you're doing. I would just say to you, this, I'm just doing that which is reasonable. This is the life that God has given me, and the same could be said of you. It's reasonable. You read those in Scripture who were martyred and sacrificed, and certainly the Bible declares accurately this world was not worthy of those whose lives were taken because they claimed the name of Jesus Christ. But may I submit to you that every martyr did that which was reasonable when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life, was persecuted for your sins and my sins. Friend, if martyrdom was required of every child of God, it would still be reasonable because our life is not ours. It's a simple way of saying, it's reasonable for me to offer my life to you. Your mercy has changed me. Your mercy has given me salvation. My life is yours. But this morning, up to this point, martyrdom is not what's been required of this group of Christians. Living. A living sacrifice is what is being required. When I say required because it's reasonable. By the mercies of God. Friend, this morning, have you received God's grace, mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to put some pressure on us this morning. I hope that's okay. If it's not, too late. You're in here. How many of you are saved this morning on your way to heaven? Keep your hand up. Are you surrendered? You can put your hands down. Have you yielded? Say, Pastor, that's unreal. No. It's very reasonable. Think about God's mercy for just a moment. If you're saved, it's not because the Pope saved you, the Baptist preacher saved you, church membership saved you, baptism saved you. None of that can save you. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, providing the means of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's all about Jesus. If you've never got that settled this morning, you can get it settled. I would encourage you to do so. Don't put it off because you don't know that you have another day to do it. Christian, have you been saved but you've never been baptized? What are you waiting on? Well, I don't like to be in front of people. You mean like nailed to a cross? And made a spectacle in front of the world? You mean like that? So just publicly identifying with Jesus and what he did really sounds kind of reasonable. Well, I just don't want to make the commitment to the church and join the church and get all the way in. I just don't know that that's something that I want to make that commitment to. You mean as Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed those sweat drops of blood and said, "Not my will, but thine"? Commitment to God's church is reasonable. Pastor, if I yield my life, I know what God's impressing upon me, or I know a direction he wants me to go. It means I'd have to sacrifice this, or I would have to change this in my schedule or my life. And it's more than reasonable, because you wouldn't have a life if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have a future if it wasn't for him. This wasn't intended to be this type of message, but I feel impressed to say it. I wish some of you young men especially would get a hold of this. Well, I don't feel called to preach. Why don't you take that time limit off God, first of all? I turned 18, his chance is up. He's not capable of calling me after that. Let me go do what I want to do. Why don't some of you young adults get a hold of this and say, he may not put me on a mission field, he may not even put me as a pastor in our pulpit one day, but can I just live my life for God, yielded, doing everything I can to keep as many people out of hell as I possibly can? And whatever job, career God gives me, I want to make just enough money so I have time to tell people about Jesus. I can build a Sunday school class. I can be involved in discipleship. Pastor, just point me in a direction. Why? Because his mercy has saved me. It's the reasonable thing to do. There was a generation when we had to send our young men off to war so that we would be free. It's a different war. It's the war for the souls of men. Why don't we say, hey, we give ourselves to him? And I promise you, when the time comes, we're all in glory with him, and we're at that judgment seat, and the Lord himself gives those crowns. I don't know everything that's going to be said. The Bible doesn't tell us the way it's all going to be, but I can tell you what won't be said. Man, I really could have made a lot of money if I hadn't given my life to God. Let me tell you what won't be said. I wonder what I could have been if I hadn't just given my life to Jesus. Let me tell you what conversations won't take place between moms and dads. I wonder what our children could have accomplished in the world if we had reared them differently. That won't be there. But can I tell you, the sentiment among all will be, I wish I'd given more. I wish I'd surrendered more. I wish I'd have given him that one more day. I wish I wouldn't have wasted any of that time. I wish when I had the decision I could make on that Sunday morning when Pastor preached that message, I wish I had yielded then and said, no more wasted time, no more looking for myself. I'm going to yield and surrender. I'm going to do what is reasonable so that others might be helped. Father, I pray that you would use